It's another week. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. So glad that you are joining us today. To learn more about Hope, you can go to investinghope.com. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of those places. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. I was able to travel back home to Middle Tennessee and spend some time with family, and that's always fun, but obviously it's always nice to get back to today's home, my home, which is in Knoxville. And so a great Thanksgiving, great holiday time. And what we're doing today is, as I often do, we have a guest in the studio, and today's guest is Lawson Bates, a singer-songwriter, and also from Bringing Up Bates on the Up Network. And so, Lawson, as we get into our conversation, I know we're going to be having a benefit concert you're hosting for us, along with some special guests, and we're going to talk about that concert here in just a little bit that's happening on December 9th. But I would like for us first to kind of introduce you, who you are, where you're from. I know East Tennessee is your home. So kind of introduce yourself to the listeners today, if you would.
Sure, and thank you for having me here today, Andrew. I'm glad to be here to talk about the concert and whatever else it is we want to talk about. But I guess first off, one of the questions I always get is, what in the world? You have 18 siblings. How is that, you know, even? I've never heard of anything like
that.
Sure,
yeah. So, by the way, Lawson has 18 siblings. Yeah.
No, I'm one of 19, and I'm number 4 in the family. And we literally have a blast together. People are always asking, how do you like growing up in a family with so many? And I'm like, what do you mean? I thought that was normal.
All right.
And I can't imagine how life would be if there were only, you know, 6 or 7 or 10 of us. It'd be just so boring. But, yeah, that's one thing to know about me. And then growing up in East Tennessee, I think everybody here has a big love for music, gospel music, country music, bluegrass music. All of those influences were big in my life growing up. And I don't believe that it was something I ever thought, oh, this is what I'm going to get to do for a living. It's just what I loved. And that progressed into something more as I got older. And so I think when I was getting ready to finish up high school, I started saying, you know, what am I going to do with looking at college, different things like that. And my mom was a big pusher of saying, hey, you need to go make a CD in Nashville. I don't care I don't care how far it goes or how big it is, but I want you to make it. I love your singing and that kind of thing. But you know how it is when your mom's telling you something.
Yep.
You think, well, that's just mom. Moms are supposed to be your supporter.
My mom still believes I'm going to play in the NBA.
Oh, man.
Still believes it to this day. Yep.
Point guard, I could see that.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, right. Yeah,
you know,
right.
There's some teams out there that are doing pretty bad
now. Not that bad.
So I think the Grizzlies just fired their coach.
Yeah.
So
well, there you go.
Maybe coaching.
And it's in Tennessee. Yeah.
Maybe coaching is the thing
right,
for you.
Yeah.
But so I started looking at different things, and I'd become really close friends with Andy Leftwich, who is one of the most renowned musicians really in the industry. Everybody I think that's done anything on the music side of Nashville knows Andy Leftwich, and he's just a great Christian guy and has a really good heart and passion for helping develop young artists and work with people who are, I feel like, you know, in the music for the same reasons he is, even though we're in a secular industry, trying to make a Christian impact and promote values and things like that.
Sure.
So I went to Nashville with really not a clue and met with him, and he said, I really believe in some of the stuff you're doing. Of course, I think one of the best things about being with him is he was honest that, you know, there's a lot of things to work on, but it's constructive criticism. And he said, I can kind of see the vision for where you need to be and how to get there. And so I made my first album in Nashville, and I wrote a couple of songs on it. Was very, you know, I guess tentative at my writing ability. Just said, I don't know how this is going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
But when that album came out, the response to it kind of like shocked us all. I don't think Andy or myself or any of the guys on our team putting that together realized how well it was going to do. And when that happened, I was just kind of like taken back, like, whoa, I think I need to get serious about this and see what I can work on to shoot for a career.
Yeah.
And I think ever since then, I've been going back and forth to Nashville working and writing, trying to schedule the good co-writes and just be the best that I could be and develop as an artist. And that was over like 3 or 4 year time period. And I came out with my most recent album last year. And that was really my first kind of mainstream country, put me in the country world album. And it's done really well and it's opened a lot of doors. So I'm feeling very blessed for the opportunities that I've had and looking forward to what the future holds.
Sure. So along with that, as you're looking at your career and also not just in music, but also you still have the show Bringing Up mm-hmm. Bates. And so that's still part of your life, it's part of your family's life. And so we were talking off air that what you love about the show is it allows y'all to not only get to do something as a family, but also to be an inspiration, to point to values and what that means. And so talk a little bit about why, how faith plays a role in the life of the Bates family. Why is faith central to everything mm-hmm. that y'all do?
For sure. Well, growing up, we did grow up in an extremely faith-based family. My dad was an evangelist for a while, and he's pastoring a little church up in Clinton right now and been okay. pastoring there for about 4 or 5 years, a little independent Baptist church. And I think faith and family starts everything. If you don't have a great family relationships, then other relationships, other things aren't going to matter. You know, that's where things are built, right? From the Bible talks about building things on a solid foundation. Mm-hmm. And those family relationships are only going to be as good as your relationship with Jesus. And so that was more than just kind of a side thing for us growing up. So we did grow up kind of on television or in the public eye, which is a very scary thing.
Sure.
I don't think you can really point at any family that has, or anybody that's been in the public eye for a while, that it hasn't really taken a toll mm-hmm. on kind of their whole life. And so that was tough for my parents to say, we're okay with this. But I think one of the reasons they chose to do more and more was getting the different feedback from people, you know, getting an email from somebody in another state or another country that says, wow, I saw this and this drove me to do this or make this change in my family or get back with my husband. We were going to get a divorce or get a better relationship with my children. And those kind of things, you know, just blow you away and make you want to keep doing what you're doing and even more. So I think television as a whole is kind of more for us a ministry outreach to hopefully show others this is, you know, how we're living. And if there's something you can take from that, then that's fantastic.
Right. So faith plays a major role in the family, but I'm assuming music also has played a major role, not just with you, but mm-hmm. I know a lot of your siblings play and sing. And so talk about how growing up, because I think of my own family and my mom plays piano, and that's really where the music stops. We all enjoy music and listen and sing in the car and do all those things, sing at church. But
yeah.
But talk about how important music was and still is in your family.
So growing up, very simple lifestyle. You know, we didn't have a TV growing up and we were homeschooled. And a lot of people are like, whoa, you must have missed out on everything cool. But looking back now, being all the places I am and doing the things I am, I'm like, wow, I'm actually really grateful that we did have a more simplistic lifestyle mm-hmm. because it gave us time to focus on other things. And my parents, ever since we were very little, music was a huge thing that they pushed us to do. And of course, when you're 7 years old, you don't want to take your 30-minute piano lesson every
sure.
day. You dread it, but they push you to do what's good for you. And for my mom and my dad both, music was never anything for them. Growing up, my dad was a state champion wrestler in South Carolina. He was a college scholarship to Clemson and then Carson Newman.
Okay.
And my mom was majoring in human services. So music was nothing important to them. But when they got married, they kind of regretted that it was nothing. And so they said, we don't want our kids to miss out on something that can be, you know, a great thing for themselves and also a great outreach tool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, music, the cool thing is it speaks to people across, you know, boundaries, you know, whatever they are. And so growing up, we all took at least a minimum of 2 or 3 years piano. You learn the theory, and that kind of goes across for any instrument. The theory is the same. So after that, we branch out, pick up guitar, harmonica, mandolin, fiddle, bass, just about anything with strings or strings. Mm-hmm. We played it. And so, again, bluegrass and gospel, country, traditional stuff. I think all those things were big influences being here in East Tennessee.
Yeah. So what's the age range from oldest to youngest in terms of your siblings?
The age range is 28 down to 5 years old.
Wow.
Right now. And there's literally a kid just about every year.
That is
so no twins, none adopted
that
yet.
That is impressive. That, you know, I my wife and I, we have four. Well, we have three. We counted as four because the one currently is inside of my wife's belly. But so we're gonna have four, and I'm begging my wife to allow me to buy a 12 passenger van. I want one so bad.
Oh yeah.
And she keeps saying no. But if I told her, I was like, well, if we have more than four, we don't have a choice. We're gonna have to get
a
big van. But I think that's awesome because I love family. I'm, you know, very much family oriented, and we, my siblings, I have two older brothers. One of them has four kids. One of them has six kids. I mean, we're continuing to give my mom a ton of grandchildren, and there's something about, taking that responsibility of raising children, being good stewards of the children that God has given you. And obviously in connecting that to Hope, the work we do at Hope, we're constantly telling our patients that the baby inside of them has value, but so
Absolutely.
Do they. They both have value, and so mm-hmm. how do we love on them? How do we show them what it means to steward that gift well? Because children are certainly a gift, and so I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome that that you grew up and still are kind of growing up in that, and watching, you know, and now being able to kind of lead the way for your younger siblings to say, okay, this is a path I could go. So how many instruments can you play? How many instruments would you say that I would be completely comfortable with playing
play efficiently?
In front of a group?
Okay. Something that I wouldn't mind playing at a concert or something somewhere, a piano.
Okay.
I love piano and I write a lot on piano and a guitar. That's my main instrument for sure. And then mandolin. I played mandolin before I played guitar because when you're 10 years old, your hands aren't big enough to play a guitar or chord a guitar. So I picked up mandolin. I could play that. And then harmonica, a little bit of bass. But other than that, the other things I dabbled with, probably not efficient enough to pick up and just tear it up.
Yeah, if I could play one instrument, which I can't play any. I took piano lessons for a few months. And my mom plays, and she really wanted one of her boys to pick up piano. I mean, we didn't really, but I'd love mandolin and banjo. If I could just snap my fingers and be able to play those instruments, those are the two that I would pick.
Banjo is an instrument that I think my parents always wanted us to be really good at, but nobody ever picked it up and got great at it.
Yeah.
My oldest brother can play anything, absolutely anything. So he can play banjo. But, you know, there's playing and then there's really playing.
Sure, yeah.
And so that's one of my regrets. I wish I had picked up banjo and took it more seriously when I was younger.
Yeah. Well when we come back, we're going to talk more about music, and then we'll get into the benefit concert that's coming up in December over at Black Oak Heights Baptist Church in Lawson, and a couple of guests are going to be there. So we'll be back in a sec. I feel like I've gone back in the past because one of my jobs when I turned 17 was I was a radio DJ at a country radio station in Middle Tennessee.
Oh yeah.
And I would spend, you know, what I loved about that job is there's a number of things I loved about it. I loved country music, so I would get to play country music and talk about country music, but also I could wear anything because you're on radio and nobody sees you. But I love that job, and I love interviewing artists and talking to folks that, again, I can't play anything. I've never wrote a song that was serious by any means. But what I do love is the process of a song becoming a song and getting on an album and going from there. And so if you don't mind, talk a little bit about that process. You said half the week in Nashville typically. Mm-hmm. So what's it – kind of give the listeners, give us a feel for what it's like to – walk in that writing room, sit down with a co-writer and say, okay, let's make a number one song.
Yeah.
What's that like?
Oh, man. I think, first off, the industry is ever-changing. Like, if you are trying to make it in music, everybody knows funds are tight in adapting to the culture, the way things are going with streaming, all of that is something that you better be good at or you're going to get left behind really fast. But when it comes to, I mean, for one, everybody makes it in Nashville a different way. But I do believe one of the most surefire ways to do it is through writing. Mm-hmm. Because if you can write good songs and you're writing with those top writers, they're going to get pitched and they're going to get cut. And if you look at a lot of artists who are really making a splash now, they got that credibility through writing. And I'll say probably the first writing session I was in, it was really weird because you meet a complete stranger or a couple of complete strangers and you sit down in a room kind of about the size of this room we're in, by like 10 by 15 or something.
Yeah.
Just a small room, have a piano, maybe an inspirational quote on the wall and a guitar.
Yeah.
And they say, what are we going to write about? And I used to think, you sit down and you write, oh, I have this story idea to write some song. But I'm writing with this top writer who's wrote songs for, like, you know, Brad Paisley and all these legendary artists. And he says, no. I want you to just tell me about your life. What are you going through right now? And I said, whoa, this guy's getting me to open up more to him.
Yeah.
Than I've opened up to anybody in my life. That's just kind of weird. But I also feel the best songs and the best content is coming from a place that's personal and something that's real. And when you're writing from that place, people are going to relate to it more than you could have imagined if you thought of, you know, the perfect little story you're going to write a country song about.
Yeah, and that's what I love about, and not that we, you know, not that this this show, this podcast is a country country one, but give me liberty for just a second. That's what I love about country music is it's a chance to, when I listen to country music, I know there's a lot of talk today about bro country and classic country and all this, but there's always been moments, no matter what's been on the air, where people said, that's not country.
Absolutely.
And so when I hear country music, what I go to and what I gravitate towards usually is, okay, what are they telling me? Can I relate to what
yeah.
they're telling me? And so when there are some guys right now that a lot of people would say, well, they're not country, they're pop. But when I listen to the lyrics,
mm-hmm.
I go, well, that guy no doubt grew up in a place like I grew up, in a very rural area.
Yeah.
And he was influenced by a lot of different genres. But the lyrics, it's like we grew up together, you
mm-hmm.
know. And that's what I love about the opportunity. And that's what I love about the process is whoever wrote the song, they lived what they're writing. Somebody did.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the person singing it didn't write it, but they relate to it. But the person that wrote that song lived that at some point mm-hmm. in their life. So when you sit down with a co-writer, when you sit down just to write your own song, maybe it's a solo write, you don't have any co-writers. Is that what you're trying to do is to put life to paper and say, you know, I've been through this or I went through this or this is how I would deal with this.
Yeah. It really is. And one of the things you find out is everything's been written about.
Yeah.
You're trying to find a creative way to say it that is going to connect personally with somebody. Because at the end of the day, you know, music sounds change and vary over the years. But like you were saying, what matters is the story. It's the heart. It's the content. And that, I believe, is why country music will never, ever go out of style forever, because it's about real life. It's about us. It's not just another beat, you know, or something you can tap your toe to. It's you. It's who you are. And when I sit down every time, I mean, going through my life, it might be a bad habit, but every time I hear something inspirational or something happens, I'm writing it down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm writing it down or I'm recording a voice memo because I go back to that and say, I want to write a song that makes somebody feel like I felt when I experienced it. So that's really the key. I mean, if you hear something inspirational or you watch a good movie, you hear a good song that hits you right, you want to portray that emotion in what you're doing. And if you can do that, you've done it. I mean, that's what it's all about.
Well, and that's what we all have a song right now. Whoever's listening to this, is that there's a song in their mind that they're going, that song, no matter when it comes on, it takes me back to my marriage. It takes me back to brokenness. It takes me back to the birth of my children. It takes me back to that worship service one Sunday.
Sure.
You know, it takes me back to the football field on a Friday night. There's so many songs. I remember when I was in country radio and Tim McGraw's song out, Live Like You Were Dying.
Absolutely.
I played that song, and then I would sit in my truck, and anytime it came on, I would sit, no matter what, I would stop what I was doing, and I would listen to every word, because it just, it had that, whatever song has, it grabbed me every single time. And the crazy thing about that is those songs are few and far between. And so you're writing hundreds, maybe thousands of songs, but it may be that one out of a thousand that grabs a hold of people.
It's the truth. Everybody sits down, I think, in a writing session and says, let's write a hit. No, just write about what you feel, write about what you believe, and they'll come. Like, when you try too hard, everybody, it's like being in a relationship with a girl. When you're trying too hard, you know, that's going to run them off. Just be you, and if what you're doing is right, it'll bring them in. Same way with songwriting.
Yeah, and I think it's a wonderful gift to put on paper and then to put in song, you know, what people are feeling. Because I even think about, you know, everybody, at least if you live in the South, at some point in time, you've sat down and thought, what do I want played at my funeral? You know, and why is that? It's because songs have such a huge impact on your life that you're saying, on the day when I'm in a casket and everybody is sitting there looking up, what do I want in their ears? And I mean, I've thought about that.
Yeah.
You know, my grandparents, when they passed, that was the first thing we said. What are we going to play?
Mm-hmm.
What would really encompass everything that they lived, their 90 plus years? How are we going to encompass that in picking a song?
In 3.5 minutes.
Yeah. And it's, and so there's pressure too when you're writing the songs. And so we just have about 30 seconds before the next break. As we shift to talking about the concert coming up, what I want us to do is talk about how you talked about being friends with Andy and he produced the album. But as we get prepared for the next segment, let's think through talking about that relationship, how you, because Andy's a, you know, highly accomplished artist, and what that meant for you and young artists getting connected with Andy to help in singing and songwriting and producing that album. We'll talk about that when we come back. Having a great conversation today with Lawson Bates as we talk about music and country music and faith and family and Lawson, and I again just appreciate you coming in and doing this and having these conversations. So as we ended the last segment, we were talking about your relationship with Andy Lefwich, who is going to be a guest at the benefit concert on December 9th. So he's super talented, well accomplished. He's won Grammys. How did you get connected with Andy, and what did that do for your young career and kind of setting you up in a good spot?
Speaking 100% truth here, I feel like if there's one person that helped me get on my feet career-wise more than anybody, it was Andy Lefwich. I mean, he was one of those guys that when I met up with him in Nashville at like 17 or 18, I knew nothing about the industry, about the process, about being a performer. And he kind of helped mentor and guide me along. And, of course, Andy, I think he started playing fiddle for Ricky Skaggs on the road when he was 19 years old, which is unbelievable in itself, but just shows the kind of musician and talent he is. But the cool thing with Andy was, I think when anybody goes to Nashville, they got these huge dreams of how things are going to play out, what awards they're going to be nominated for, and blah, 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 all the hype and the fanfare. But Andy was very much into preaching, work on your art, and also it's not one big thing that's going to make or break you as an artist or make or break your album. It's all of the little things. You can't shortcut and expect to get where you want to go when you're not putting in 110%. And so looking back, things started slower than I thought they would and hoped they would. But the cool thing about that was it helped me kind of find out who I wanted to be as an artist, as a writer. And I think that early groundwork set me up better than if I'd have just got thrown out there to the wolves, per se.
Sure. And as we look to the concert on December 9th, that's going to benefit Hope Resource Center. You can get tickets at LawsonBates.com, and we encourage you to do that. It's going to be an amazing night, but it's going to be you, Andy Lefwich, Emily Ann Roberts, who was runner-up on The Voice a couple years back, and you know, Knoxville, East Tennessee loves Emily Ann. And so how did that relationship come about? I guess, how did you get connected with Emily Ann and then talk her into joining you on December 9th?
So I was in the early stages of pre-production for my most recent album with Andy, and we were going through a ton of songs that I'd written. I mean, you write 50, 60, 100 songs and then narrow down your album to like 12 or 13.
Sure.
Something like that. It's tough because it's more than just putting a good song on there. You want a song that fits the story. I view every song on my album as kind of telling a different chapter, different part of my life up till then. And that's really what the album is all about. It's not just one single. And we had all these songs, and we were really close to studio time. And I said, man, I just feel like it's missing something. I had written a song that was for a guy, and I said, I really, you know, think this could be better. I got in a writing session, and I said, what if we flip this thing around and wrote this as a duet-style song? And they said, I love it. And I don't like writing a duet style song, you know, for a girl and a guy, unless the girl's in the writing session.
Sure, yeah.
So we started writing it, and it was perfect. We had a number of artists in mind to do it with, and I had actually just met Emily Ann maybe a few weeks before this writing session. We were both at the same event in Knoxville, and we had exchanged contacts and started talking and keeping in touch. And Andy and me talked about it. We said, hey, I think she'd be a great fit for this song. And we also ended up putting her on another song on the album. So I think the timing was just perfect for her to be on that. She just got off The Voice, and a contract worked out where she could do it. And she also was part of the reality show as well. So it fit right there on the album perfectly. And I definitely think God works things out timing wise the way he wants to.
Sure. And now she's going to be at the concert on December 9th. Again, tickets at LawsonBates.com. So what can people expect? We know it's around Christmas time.
Yeah.
And I'm a sucker for any kind of Christmas concert. At Christmas time, that's what I want to do. I want to go and listen to Christmas music. So what can people expect if they buy a ticket and come out to the concert, not only to support Hope Resource Center, and we certainly appreciate that, but what can they expect in the show? And maybe talk about kind of the guest spots and what that's going to look
sure.
like.
Sure. Well, it is going to be a blast, first off. We're all going to have a great time. And nothing is better than getting in the Christmas spirit with some good Christmas and country music. It's about 50-50. The set list is Christmas music, then some of my songs. Also, one of the songs I'm most excited about, and I'm shooting the music video for it this Saturday, is a brand new Christmas song that I wrote, and it's coming out right before the concert. Actually, we'll be performing that one there, and it's called Back to Christmas. It talks about not focusing on all the chaos and everything that's going on in our world, and getting back to Christmas. And I really love the message in that song. I'll be playing that there, and of course Andy will be there. He's gonna blow your mind with his fiddle, mandolin, guitar. Everything he does is just like, I sit there in awe and I could watch him play his own concert for an hour, but you're going to love him. And then me and Emily are doing the duets only album, and then also a couple new duets. And we have a few more special guests coming. So I can't announce all of them, but there are some more special guests that I know East Tennessee people are going to love.
And again, it's at Black Oak Heights Baptist Church, and we're grateful for that partnership. And, you know, anytime we put something together like this, at Hope, we are, you know, we're a nonprofit. And some of you hear that and go, yeah, everybody's a nonprofit now. And but in complete honesty and transparency, Hope Resource Center could not operate, could not do what it does without the support of our partners. And so what that looks like is individuals that support us here in the city, here in the state, and around the country, churches that step out and support us, and businesses and folks like Lawson and others that are saying, hey, we'll come together for a good cause, to stand for life, to celebrate Christmas. And Black Oak has stepped in and said, hey, you can use our space and use our building. And all of that comes together. It's people saying, hey, there's something here worth coming together for. And that's what music does. Music allows us to come together and enjoy music and forget about politics, forget about everything else that's going along. You know, I remember a few years ago, it's been a while, but when Dixie Chicks did mm-hmm. their thing and said some stuff about the president, it kind of got out of hand. I remember somebody going up and asking Kenny Chesney, what do you think about what they said? And he said, are you kidding me? I'm not going to say anything.
I sing country music.
Yeah.
That's
and
it.
So, and his thought, the thought process there is, look, we just want to enjoy music. I don't, you
absolutely.
Know, let's just talk about music. And in this case, let's talk about our faith and let's come together with those commonalities and say, let's just have a great night, celebrate Christmas, celebrate life. And it's going to be amazing. You can, again, get tickets at LawsonBates.com. We'll talk more about that concert and more about what people can be looking for in your career and musically when we come back. So what we've done for the last, I don't know, 40 minutes, 45 minutes, is we have talked about music, we talked about family, we talked about faith, we talked about life. And what you need to do right now, wherever you're listening to this, is you need to grab your phone, you need to go grab your laptop, go to LawsonBates.com, and purchase your tickets to the show on December 9th, excuse me, at Black Oak Heights Baptist Church. Because I know that some of you are thinking, well, I'll just wait till the day of, or I'll just wait till the very last minute. Don't wait till the very last minute. Don't wait till day of, because there may not be any more tickets left. And so I would strongly encourage you to purchase your tickets now. And also, we were talking off air, that this is going to be a family affair. So bring your family in. Don't feel like, you know, this is just a certain demographic. We want everybody to come and enjoy a good concert.
And even though, you know, I'm a country artist, this is uplifting and positive country. And the Christmas music, of course, is something I think everybody's going to have a good time at. Also, I have said it before, but a lot of my family from the show Bringing Up Bates is going to be there as well. And they want to meet you, and they're going to be out in the crowd just enjoying the concert as well. So we're going to have a blast. But like Andrew said, get your tickets today. Don't wait till, you know, right before and miss out, because we'd love to see you there.
And it's also a great time there, not only to see the show and get to enjoy that, but Lawson will have a table set up where you can buy the album, you can mm-hmm. buy shirts, I'm sure, and Hope will have a table set up where you can get more information about us too. And again, we're just thankful, Lawson, that you agreed to do this. And this is such a great opportunity at Christmas time to really reflect and go, okay, what are we doing to stand for life? And every dollar that's raised here is going to celebrate life, and is going to be a great opportunity to stand with Hope Resource Center and to stand with men and women and babies of this city and of this community. And so please, folks, go to LawsonBase.com, get your tickets today. It's going to be just an amazing, amazing opportunity to hear some good music, see some great artists, and also just to celebrate with our city. And you know, a year ago this week, we were all being devastated because of the Smokies and what was going on in the Smokies and the fires and how devastating that was to East Tennessee. But what you see, a year has passed, and you see, of course, East Tennessee rose up and came together. And so this is a great opportunity to come together and just celebrate. I think with everything that's gone on over the last year, in politics and everything that happens, I think we deserve, and football season, I think we deserve a moment
sure.
to just celebrate and enjoy each other's company. And that's what we're going to do on December 9th.
Definitely. I can't wait. I know Andrew can't wait. And LawsonBates.com is where you can get your tickets right now. And again, awesome artists are going to be there. I'm not just talking about myself. I'm talking about
sure,
those
sure.
other special guests that are going to be awesome.
Humble brag.
And hey, we're going to have a good time for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. So I would strongly encourage you to do that. If you want to learn more about Hope Resource Center, you can at investinghope.com. If you want to read our blog, listen to this podcast, you can do that on the website as well. The podcast is also able to find that on iTunes. Lawson, as we head out, give us some, how can people learn more about the Bates family? How can they watch the show? Mm-hmm. What nights does the show air and
sure.
all of that stuff?
Sure. Bringing Up Bates airs every week, Thursday nights on the UPTV channel. New episodes will start airing 1st of January for Season 7. So we are filming that right now and working hard to make sure it's something that everybody can enjoy. And again, the cool thing about UP is it's really trying to focus on positive things. You see so much negative on your TV. UP is the channel you can flip to and feel comfortable about everybody in the family watching and be inspired when you're done with a movie or a TV show or something, instead of, you know, feeling, wow, what did I just take in?
And now as a dad, you know, what we find is we're watching something, and even I go back and we'll watch, I'll go, hey, kids, this is something daddy used to watch as a kid. And then I'm watching, I'm going, why did my parents allow me to watch this as a kid? And so it is nice to be able to flip to a station and to see that, that faith and family and values are being lifted up. And that's what you'll get in bringing up Bates. And man, we're just grateful for that. So Thursday nights, you can get all you want of the Bates family, all the siblings.
Way too much bringing up Bates every Thursday.
And now there's, you were saying earlier, now the great thing is a lot of the siblings have gotten married. And so yes, there's a number of different storylines. There's a number of different shows, quote unquote, because of that.
It's almost like four or five spinoffs because they're following everybody in the family. And I think they call it the biggest night on television, the biggest family night on television
that's true.
Thursday night.
That's true. So this is just a random question, but I was talking about with my family wanting a 12-passenger van, wanting, you know, the big van on the market. What did your family drive?
Well, we drove a 15-passenger for quite a while, but of course we outgrew that 10 years ago or 15 years ago because there's just too many of us.
Right.
And it was a big red Ford 15-passenger. And now we drive, if we're going as a family, we typically drive like three or four Suburbans and a 15-passenger. So it's like the entourage, you know, the presidential entourage, just a very cheap version of it.
That is awesome. So they're not Cadillac Escalades, you're
saying? No. We get everything over 100,000 miles. Yeah, that's when they are broken.
Yeah, that's that is amazing. You know, and my wife, if she listens to this, she's going to say, Andrew, don't get any ideas. But when I hear about...
You need a 12-passenger or 15-passenger.
I need that. And there's part of me that says I need... we're going to have four kids. I need, you know, about 7, 8, 9 more kids.
Absolutely.
There's a large part of me that says that. And you
can always adopt as well.
That's
something my family's wanted to do, but maybe in the future.
Yeah.
You know, there's not enough of us. My mom is definitely getting the, you know, need another baby in the house syndrome.
Wow.
Because the youngest is 5. So,
yeah, that is amazing. I just want to come and spend time there. That's what I want to do. And if you ever need somebody to drive one of those Suburbans, you know, let me know. I'd be happy to do that as well.
If you come to the Bates house, just be prepared for a lot of noise. That's the only thing that's going to take you back a little more than you expected.
Yeah. Well, Lawson, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for the concert. Again, if you want to get tickets, and we know you do, LawsonBates.com, you can do it. It's one of the first things you see on the webpage. Click on there, buy your tickets. There's VIP packages available. There's a number of different options available. And we want to fill Black Oak Heights Baptist Church up and just enjoy an amazing night of country music, an amazing night of Christmas music. And even if you're sitting there going, well, I don't know if I, you know, what that's going to be like, but just come out and appreciate good, wholesome family fun, which we don't get often. And so we would strongly encourage you to do that. And also you'll, in buying your ticket, you're going to be helping and standing with a young mom in this city and her child. And we certainly appreciate that as well. So learn more about Lawson at LawsonBates.com. Buy your tickets there. Thursday nights, bringing up Bates on the Up Network. And we certainly appreciate Lawson for coming out. It's going to be a great night, December 9th, Black Oak Heights Baptist Church. Get your tickets today. We'll talk to you next week. Lawson, thanks.
Thank you for having me.